All right, welcome back to the Beast Game podcast, and today we're talking about A Quiet Place 2, which was a delayed movie because it was supposed to come out last year, maybe last March of 2020, right before the pandemic hit. I think it did get launched, and then got pulled, and then delayed until this year. It's a follow-up to, I guess it was 2018? A Quiet Place, which was directed by John Krasinski, is known for The Office, but he had branched out into more drama roles. So is an extension of the end of A Quiet Place, the original movie. With that movie, creatures appeared from the sky. They're very sensitive to sound. Anything that made a sound, they destroyed. So they were killing off people. So it's a post-apocalyptic situation where John Krasinski and his family are trying to survive. His daughter has a hearing problem. She is the most annoying character in that movie. And it reminded me...
Wait, what? Hold on, what? She was annoying.
Yes.
Yeah, she was annoying.
Yeah, she was annoying. She was annoying in the first movie. Getting back to all this, again, John Krasinski died because of the daughter's ignorance. Then... So it's Emily Blunt, John Krasinski's real wife, in real life, and the children, Millicent Simmons, and the other kid doesn't really matter, Noah Jupe, he really doesn't do much. They're leaving the farm that they lived in, and they're heading off to someplace. They reach a set of abandoned buildings, and then the son falls into a bear trap, which then alerts the creatures, and then they try to fend off the creatures, and Cillian Murphy allows them to come into his abandoned building. This one tries to also give some explanation about what should come after this. Again, humanity's kind of being destroyed by these creatures. I guess George A. Romero-esque angle where they're hearing stuff on the radio, thinking that there might be some protected area away from all these creatures. Bird Box did the same thing. Also, I'd like to reiterate, A Quiet Place was a very brilliant movie that did not need a sequel. But Keith, how do you feel about A Quiet Place or A Quieter Place?
Yeah. I agree that A Quiet Place was a movie that did not require a sequel. As sequels go, this was not bad. I know some people are thinking this is better than the first. Would disagree. I would say it doesn't detract from the first movie. It had some genuine thrills, and I am a huge fan of progressing the plot by having people not do something stupid. People making logical choices that fits with their character, and that's what progresses the plot. That's what was done in A Quiet Place, the first movie, and it was done in the second one. The boy goes upstairs, leaves the baby behind, and why the hell is he moving around? He's going to make noise. He's going to attract one of the creatures. It's going to cause problems. Why the mother leave? Kept questioning the decisions, and then I took a moment to realize, oh, she had to get supplies for the baby in order for the baby to survive. The boy was going out to look out for his mom to keep an eye on her, of course, because he's by himself. He's alone with the baby. The only recourse, he's got to make sure he's concerned about his sister, he's concerned about his mother, so he wants to keep an eye out. And I was immediately brought back to, like, if my mother ever went out to the store at night, I would wait by the window, waiting for her to come back home. I was like, okay, this makes sense. Bumps into something, it makes a noise, the creature comes. It was excusable, it was believable. I understood that. I'm willing to bet it took him a long-ass time to figure out a way to get the sequence of events to occur naturally, as opposed to somebody just doing something stupid. Everything made sense. There was a reason why the girl, Millicent's character, went off by herself, because her brother was injured, her father's dead, her mother has to take care of the baby. It's
let's reiterate that she caused her father to die.
It's no. You have to rewatch it.
Right? It's her fault. That whole movie is her fault.
Tell him I'm giving the little brother the toy.
Everything is her fault.
It was
just so she can have a moment of redemption at the end of the movie. It is her fault. Continue.
I'm not going to debate the first. Every action she did in this movie, there was a logical reason for it. Going into that train car, going in there, it was necessary. Question, like, why the hell don't they have shoes? And I'm like, oh, because why would they need shoes when anytime they wear any kind of footwear is going to make some kind of sound? Train themselves not to wear those things and stuff. It's just little tiny thing, bits and pieces and stuff that ratchet up the suspense that made logical sense. So I think that's what I appreciated more about the movie than the actual need for the sequel itself. But as sequels go, it was good. People who I thought were going to die, John Hansu's character, I saw him dying. Like the minute he did his speech about looking for his family, I'm like, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're done. You're done. Goodbye.
Body count is pretty high. I think I said that in the first review for A Quiet Place, her body count.
Not her fault that damn monster came there at like that time. That was Killing Birdie's fault.
It is.
That the monster got onto that daggone boat and floated over there.
It is.
He should have dropped a warning there that damn monsters were floating over there on the boat. But either way, it was an interesting take on that. Managed to keep the monsters mysterious while at the same time offering up tidbits on how it all began. But at the same time, they felt there was absolutely no need for them to go into where the monsters came from, and which made sense to me. You know, they came from the sky. That was all that the people on the ground know. And that was it. I thought it was a good movie. The wife and I enjoyed it. It was, I got a couple of jump scares from it. That was about it. Jane, you'll probably go to sleep in this. Still had the same level of suspense that the first one had. It just isn't as surprising looking for those moments. The big payoff at the end, I thought the last sequence was a little on the nose, where It just all of a sudden everything comes together to save both family, both groups. That was a little too convoluted for me. I thought it was a decent film, worth the price of admission. Again, I agree with you. It was a unnecessary film. It wasn't needed for the progressive franchise.
Okay. All right, James?
I agree with everything Keith said, well, to a certain extent. This movie was not needed. They could have just left it alone. This was a cash grab movie, but it wasn't a bad movie, but it wasn't good. It wasn't that good to me. And that's because we knew what to expect. We knew that there were going to be tense moments when they had to be quiet. Like the first one was different. We didn't know exactly what was going on. Now we have an idea. So it's like they recycled the same thing. I mean, I didn't really learn anything new about these monsters. Really.
Yeah, because the first maybe 15 minutes of the movie is a prequel to the first movie.
Right. So you didn't really learn anything new. She does cause a lot of problems, man. The daughter. Right. A lot of things that she's done cause a lot of people to die. A lot. A lot. And then she has to somehow, some way, save the day.
Again.
You know, again. They basically recycled this shit, which isn't a bad thing. But with sequels, you want something that's going to add to the story, add a little bit more depth to the story. What depth is there to this story to add on to overall lore?
John Wick 2 versus John Wick, the first one. That is a perfect example of a
But sequel. That had complexity to it.
No, right. I agree. I'm just saying that that's how a sequel should be.
Right. It added on because then you actually got behind the scenes of the Assassin's Guild.
I would consider something like Godfather and Godfather Part 2 and John Wick and John Wick Part 2
right.
perfect sequels.
Reason why, they had a world in the beginning and then they opened up the world. So it became more realistic. It was a continuation of what was going on and then like little bits and pieces of the prequel before everything went to hell. And then like how certain people they introduced in the prequel sequence showed up later on in the movie. It's just not adding to the plot. Was it an entertaining movie? Yes. Would I watch it again? Yeah, because it had these moments that was creepy, that was like, oh man, oh shit. But you knew this was happening. You knew that you was going to get that. So it's really nothing original. I was hoping that they would just add something to the story. Still don't know that much about the monsters. We should at least have an idea. After this move was over, I had more questions. I was just thinking, so other communities out there like this? And does everybody know that sound is the issue? And do they have ways to stop them? How are they living? It just opened my mind to other things. And I think that this one should have prevented that by giving me some answers. And then I would have other questions, but I have too many questions. I have too many questions. And I agree with Barry. That girl is a callous for hell, man. If you see her coming, walk the other way. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to die.
Yeah, I agree. Matt?
I really liked the movie. I found it was entertaining. And I hear what everyone's saying as far as sequels typically build on went well in the first movie and then dive deeper into it. Anyone ever think that this is a build-up to part three, which will probably be a lot better than part two? James also did say that he had more questions than answers especially, okay, we knew they came from space. Is there other communities? Did anyone ever think that this is a build-up for the next movie, which will probably have a more impact and dive a little bit deeper?
Well,
because it made us a little bit more curious as far as how the world is.
You eliminate the first 15 minutes of this movie. The movie's only like an hour and a half.
Right.
So you could have done something.
Could just dove right there from there.
You could have made a real Quiet Place 2, 2.5 hour movie, and progressed it that way. I mean, this whole getting to the island thing could have happened in the first 45 minutes. It didn't need to be drawn out like this.
Matt, right. I agree. There's going to be a third part. I get it. But like Barry said, they should just cut out the beginning. We didn't need to know all of that. We just need to see what happened afterwards. And then could have added that extra 15 minutes could have answered some of the questions that I have.
Like what extra 15 minutes would have you added to this movie? I guess is my question.
The door to not being an idiot.
What have you dived into?
Would you say, Barry?
The door to not being an idiot.
The daughter didn't do anything dumb in this movie.
Oh, she left, first of all.
Oh, my God. There was
she
a
left.
Reason for that.
She was silly.
She left by herself.
All there right. was a reason for that.
There's a reason for her to leave. And the only reason why Cillian Murphy's character did not die is because John Krasinski's character died in the first movie because of the daughter's ignorance.
Oh, my God. All right.
It is.
But Matt, to answer your question, 15 minutes could have been us learning more about the monsters. Like, for example, the character Cillian Murphy, right? From what I saw, because after a while I was kind of tuning in and out, when they met up in the bunker in the steel mill or wherever the hell it was, right? He said, look, figure this out. This is where this all started. Blah, 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 blah. Just for this brief second. Anything. This started here. They came from here. I got these reports from the dark web and blah, blah, blah. Anything.
By then, the monsters already took over.
How did we take over? That's 15 minutes. He's been there for months.
Was it months?
Yeah, it was a period of time. It was at least a couple of weeks. So 15 minutes in a couple of weeks. Let's go with that. That's a position to add on. Like just a little bit.
I think it's a precursor to part 3, in my opinion, make everyone curious.
If that's the case, this is the Quiet Place DLC. This ain't part 2.
Yeah, that's how I kind of viewed the movie.
They could have put this on stream.
I'm
talking about like streaming it on Netflix.
I'm just saying like, this could have been.
They wanted to make, how much money would they made on that though?
This could have been a YouTube.
You can't. Cause in that case, you're putting it up there with Karate Kid.
All right, I'm just saying this could have been a YouTube promo. You get to see the first
15 minutes. The first 15 minutes we saw with the prequel, the so-called prequel, could have been on YouTube.
Yeah. Agree.
I liked it. I like.
I mean,
I like it as well.
We're not saying that it's bad.
Well,
we're just saying that it was not needed.
I'm going to step in. I want to say unequivocally that first movie is brilliant. It is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter aside.
Oh my God.
To take a premise where the lead characters do not talk. We're talking about Snake Eyes. You should leave the mask on, dude. But it's stuff like that where you have Emily Blunt, well-known actress, John Krasinski, well-known actor, rarely talk in an hour and a half movie. And it works.
And convey all the emotions.
Yeah.
Right. That's good acting and great direction.
This second movie did not need to exist. Or this iteration of this movie did not need to exist. So... did A Quiet Place 2 need a sequel? No. Did this need to be the sequel? No. But could The Quiet Place 2, A Quiet Place, The Quietest Place, like I'm giving y'all sequel names, could it have been a great movie? Yes. This movie is unnecessary. All it does is just tries to give the daughter some more redemption. Because again, her body count is high.
Yeah, man. He's a great assassin, I'm telling you right
now.
As
James said, I mean, she's the pure embodiment of wickedness and evil.
Oh my God, yo.
And if
I'm
you
saying,
see,
oh like God. I said.
If you see her, you might
oh
be better.
Matt, do you agree? Do you agree?
Hold on. If you see her coming,
I disagree too.
You might be better off with the monsters.
Oh my, right.
No way.
Right. Oh, God. Okay. Okay, tell me where she fucked up.
Has he fucked said up because she left, and I get that, but then it also serves in a bigger point of the plot that it moves the story forward, because if she did not have the curiosity, and this is character story written, where would have The Quiet Place gone?
I think y'all getting it mixed up. Is that she left alone? Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Dude, she has no fear.
She no, not this.
Man, you know what?
She had no other op. There were no other options.
She
has no fear.
She gave zero fuck.
Well, I'm just gonna say this. Twice in this movie, this particular movie, she was saved by Killian Murphy.
Yeah.
That doesn't need to happen if they leave together.
Right. He could have left. She had no choice but to go by herself.
Okay. The second time she almost got killed.
Again, this movie is unnecessary. The son doesn't do anything for the whole entire movie.
He gets out and makes a shitload of noise.
Yeah, so he's eliminated. So again, I already know this movie is going to be about Milton Simmons' character. Killian Murphy really does not do anything else other than save her hide multiple times. And then Emily Blunt is just really a non-factor this movie, except for her one scene. And I don't really appreciate this iteration of A Quiet Place. As James was saying, this could be DLC. Like I said, this could have just been see the prologue on whatever service, YouTube, like whoever put this movie out.
And the thing is, if they would have done that, that would have hyped me even more for it. So I'm like, oh man, okay. Because that opening sequence, I'm not saying it wasn't bad. It was a good sequence. But it was not needed. It was not needed.
Yeah.
That time could have been used for building on to the story. Mm-hmm. And I do recognize they're going to do a part three. I'm quite sure they are. Barry already gave you the names. They're going to do another part. But they could have used that time that they used in the beginning to add more layers to the story.
Yes.
I just want to know what you would add. It's explaining the monsters?
Make it about a different family. Again, everybody's...
Can they go there in part three?
Well, hold on. So... if you're going to take John Krasinski's family and family number two or group number two, like whatever it is, they converge in the third movie. Whatever they learn from the first movie, whatever they learn from the second movie, bring all that knowledge together.
So one thing about this movie that nobody mentioned yet, and I'm going to mention it, they're following the cliche pattern of movies like this.
It's a George A. Romero movie.
Exactly. Humans are the problem, too. You got to deal with the humans, the regular people. You got to deal with that shit. After you do that, you're going to find a commune of people that are safe, so-called, right? And then they get overran.
And also, you'll find the group of people that appear to be nice or something, and then they
and
turn,
turn out to be cannibals or some shit.
Yeah.
That's like The Walking Dead.
Exactly. They got nefarious plans. It's already set in motion.
And again, like I said, that first movie is brilliant. When you have all these different kind of horror, suspense, you're the last group on Earth type movies, this took a different spin on it. And then built things around sound, built things around the door to being deaf. Brilliant. This one just exists. It exists to me. Yeah, they made A Quiet Place too. Okay. And even if this was pre-pandemic, or the pandemic didn't happen, I still wouldn't like this movie. That's all I can say. Any rebuttals before we go to scores?
No.
I still think it was a good movie.
So, Keith, what score would you give A Quieter Place? They screwed up the naming conventions, but go ahead.
I get a 7.5.
Okay.
Unnecessary, but I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was logical. The girl didn't do anything dumb. She did what she had to do that was necessary, not just to progress the plot, but because of what she felt that was the only way to save the family and everyone around them. So, yeah, I give it a 7.5. I've watched it again. I watched The Quiet Place and then watched this back to back. It fits into it. Yeah, I give it a 7.5.
Okay, Matt.
Although some of the things that the girl does is illogical as far as going out by herself, but understand, as Jay said earlier, this might be part of a redemption arc for her. Just like any franchise that has multiple movies in it, it's a precursor for what this series is, and I believe it's going to evolve, because in the first movie, it was just strictly about their family. Second movie, learn a little bit about the monsters, and then it goes into another community. It sets up perfectly well for a third movie, where there might be multiple cities that it impacts and communities. I just hope that it doesn't end up turning to be like an Independence Day for part three, because it would take away from the lore of a soft, small community in which they're combating the monsters. Mm-hmm. I give this movie an 8. Very well written. I don't believe it should be on YouTube or any of the other services, because I don't think it ranks up there with like Karate Kid.
Well, when I said YouTube, I'm just talking about this is a promo, prologue, epilogue, or like what do you want to call it?
You know what this is? This is like the first 7 minutes of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. But James, what score would you give A Quiet Place?
I give it a 6.5. Like I said, it wasn't a bad movie. It was not needed at all. I think we could all agree to that, that it was not needed.
It was needed for part three.
But that's fine. You know what? Part three should have been part two then. Like,
not every movie needs to be a trilogy. Not every movie needs a sequel.
But you know you will see part three.
Yeah, I'll see it. Did it need to exist? Did this movie need to exist? Yes or no?
Yes, for the franchise.
Okay. Go ahead and continue, James.
This movie is not a bad movie. I don't think it should have been made because The Quiet Place kind of stood out on its own. The story did not need to be told. If it did need to be told, this was not the right way to do it. Like I said, it's not a bad movie. I enjoyed the opening sequence. I give it a 6.5. When I see part three, yeah, to see if they finally add on to the story. And one thing I did not like, and I mentioned this briefly, is that they stuck with the cliches. I was hoping that this would kind of not go in that direction, because I was actually thinking about it. I said, watch it. Watch they find someone that's away from all of this and living the peaceful life. I said, watch them find it.
It happened in Bird Box. The end of Bird Box is like that. Go ahead.
I mean, I understand that they do that to give hope, but break the chains of the repetitiveness. They do it all the time. And I was hoping this would be that movie, but it wasn't. So I give it a 6.5.
All right. So I'm hovering between a 4.5 and a 5. The reason why I would give it a 5 is because A Quiet Place 1 is such a great movie. But this one, from a story standpoint, this particular story is not good. Does it continue A Quiet Place? Yes. Does it push forward some third movie? Yes. But did this particular story create the best of the original Quiet Place and do something different than that first movie? It didn't do it. That's where the 4.5 would be. But again, I'd settle on a 5. It's not terrible, but that daughter, yeah, that's what I didn't like about the first movie. Even though I gave it an extremely high score, that daughter, ooh.
She was the only part that I was like,
John Krasinski must be writing this. Yeah, let's just keep blaming her for everything. But as I said, not every movie needs a sequel. Not every movie needs a trilogy. Just like every movie, I guess, towards the middle of last decade did not need to be split into two parts. Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, Part 1 and 2. The Glistening Vampire series, Parts 1 and 2. And having watched a lot of these types of movies recently, as James said, the George A. Romero comparisons are big. Walking Dead comparisons are also big. First movie did something and fit in between the middle of all that. This one just goes into both of those directions. So that's where my 5 would be. All right, Peace Game Podcast.